Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I think that's right.
Hello, hello, show.
Welcome to the Hello, hello, show, everybody.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. If it's your first time here, don't leave. Don't leave. You already use your data to stream this.
You're already here. Why leave? You know, it's the same feeling you get when you enter a restaurant, then you look at the menu, and then you're like, fuck, we're already here.
And then the server comes to you and asks you, ilan po kayo? How many? And you can't turn away.
May spoon and fork na, may baso na kayo. No, but you can't.
Too late. You
just have to.
You made it. You made it.
You got to do it. Okay.
Foot in the door. Okay.
So welcome, and whatever we're gonna serve you, I know you guys are gonna like it because this is the Hello Hello Show. We talk about everything and anything under the sun. My name is Rika, and that's JC.
Hello there. So the podcast, we talk about stuff that trends, usually all over the world. Not really. Not usually. Usually it's all over the Philippines because we are Filipino podcasters, although Rika is based in the UK for the foreseeable future for now. But we talk about stuff that trends in the Philippines. Sometimes it trends internationally. Actually, one of our TTs is about that as well. We'll tell you about the TTs in a bit, but we start with where you've been. What is where you've been, Rika? Why do people care?
Because, you know, it's basically shitting on ourselves. It's us shitting on ourselves. But we talk about what happened throughout our week and our personal lives, you know, getting a peek behind the curtain of JC and Rika. Like, it's so fucking interesting, right? And then after that, we do have our TTs, which is our trending topics. We usually pick around two or three that trended online. And what are RTTs for today?
We're beginning with Bea Fab, right? Bea Fab's son.
Yes. Right?
Yeah. So in case you don't know who Bea Fabregas is, is she still in radio? But anyway, she's a radio DJ, events host. Her husband, Nico Ramos, is one of my man crush Mondays, man crush forever. He's like so awesome. But anyway, their son actually went viral online, and a lot of people loved what happened. So basically, it involves Beyonce. We'll tell you more about it in a bit. See, my dog's excited about this whole thing too, right? But yeah, it's about Beyonce. And then our next TT, we are going to be talking about Bretman Rock. What's going on with Bretman Rock?
So basically, Bretman Rock clapped back at someone who posted a homophobic remark online about, you know, using the gym and working out or whatever. Which is, honestly, I think right now it is so easy to find misogynistic messages or videos online.
Homophobic
as well. It's just, it's everywhere. And it's also so scary to think that once you, let's say you watch that video and you're in that hole, let's say you're a teenage boy who's on TikTok, that's everything that you're gonna see, and you will be fed that message all the time. Kasi ako sometimes, kunwari lang, may sasabihin si Andrew, what's his
Tate?
Name?
Andrew Cobra Tate. Tate.
Yeah, kunwari lang, kunwari lang may dumaan sa FYP ko na Andrew Tate. Tapos napapanood ko lang siya for like more than 10 seconds. After like 10 more videos, I see it again. I see another one. So parang it's so easy to just get caught up in that, you know, like timeline. So we're going to talk about that and what Bretman Rock said in response to that. And then after that, actually, we are going to talk about, I feel like this would be like one of the biggest topics or issues that kind of trended in the Philippines, and especially in our circle from our friends and whatever. It's the Banksy Universe exhibit in Manila. So basically, BGC announced that they're going to have a Banksy exhibit, and then people just kind of like double down on, you know, like their efforts to say that this isn't actually what Banksy is all about. You gotta cut this shit, man.
Yeah, in case so you we're didn't gonna know talk who Banksy about that. Was he's a famous street artist whose name has remained anonymous for like decades.
Nobody knows who
yeah. they are, right? So we'll talk all about that, and you can jump to the timestamps to the TTs if you want. If you want to skip where you've been, but we're gonna start it right now, so don't skip it. All right, and am I going first?
Yeah, you're going first.
All right, man. As I just came from basketball, and it was a lot of fun. But after basketball, I'm usually hungry. I just want to give a shout out, and this is not sponsored. Burger King's spicy chicken sandwich is the best fucking chicken sandwich from the fast food chains.
Are you sure?
I am 100% sure. Like, I, you know, people say Popeyes. Right, Jollibee had a good one when they first came out. Something changed with their... I mean, it's still okay, but it's different. But Burger King's spicy chicken sandwich, man, I just got to give a special shout out because I just ate it like an hour ago. It was so good.
Look, I agree with you that Burger King, you know, pushes out one of the best, like, chicken sandwiches out there, because I'm a chicken sandwich person. Like, I'd rather get a chicken sandwich than a burger.
Yep.
But my ultimate chicken sandwich actually in Burger King is the extra long chicken sandwich.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's really good. And the reason why it's really good, well, first of all, it's extra long. Okay, don't be immature.
Out of context.
And then also because like they put in like a salad in there, like may lettuce, tas merong sauce and everything. I just think it's like the perfect chicken sandwich from a fast food chain, because you know what, like the chicken sandwich that I like in the Philippines, which is
foul bread. Yeah, foul bread to me is still the best, like in terms of if you go away from the fast food chains and you go to more of the sit down style restaurants, foul bread is top tier. It is so good, for sure.
underrated chicken sandwich is from 8 Cuts. If you try the chicken sandwich from 8 Cuts, it's really good. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they still have it in 8 Cuts because I haven't been there for like a couple of years, but it's one
they
of the best
do.
That
they
I've
still do,
had.
I think.
Army
Navy din okay din eh.
Pero actually alam mo ba, if I remember correctly, what's that Korean fast food chain?
Bonchon.
Bonchon had a really good chicken sandwich. I think they phased it out for a little bit. I don't know if it's still in there, but I usually get that. Yeah, I usually get that, and then I cut it in half. Kasi sobrang laki niya. Tapos dalawa siyang like patties of chicken.
It's a double stack.
There. Yeah, dude, it's a double stack. It's like one of the best for me.
Welcome to the Chicken Sandwich Podcast, everybody. Anyway, I just want to shout that out. But after basketball, right? So last week, I found a seller, because I don't know if anyone really cares or knows. Watermelons are my favorite fruit of all time.
I know.
And watermelons are so good when you put them in the refrigerator. Dude, it hit 50 degrees in some places here.
I know.
What the fuck
is
happening? It's the hottest summer I've ever experienced living here in the 9 years that I've been here. It is burning. So watermelons from the refrigerator are so good. But what's not good is how fucking expensive watermelons are in the supermarket. In the supermarket, they're 75 pesos per kilo. At least it's sa Robinson's. And in the palenque, although it's cheaper, it's not that much cheaper. It's like 50 or 55 pesos per kilo. Dude, I went on a mission. And thank the Lord above for Facebook Marketplace, because I found a seller. Sobrang lapit lang sa akin, like it's like a 10-minute drive. 150 per piece, bro. 150 per watermelon. Each one is like 4 or 5 kilos. And they're sweet. I bought 8 last week. I finished them all.
What the hell?
Yeah, dude. I eat.
Are you okay?
I eat an insane amount of watermelon. It is crazy. It is crazy.
The thing is, I love watermelon. Okay, yeah. It is like basta how it is, and you know, it's crunchy and sweet and everything. But the thing is, it's like 80% sugar. Diba? So, and I can't have too much, but because it's like mostly water and then the rest of it is sugar.
Yeah.
Ang sarap niyang kainin, and it's so light in your tummy, but the thing is, it's just so much sugar for me. Mm. So I envy people who can just eat like half a watermelon. Yeah. Dude.
It's so on Facebook Marketplace, the name of the seller, his name is Van on there, V-A-N. Mm-hmm. Just let me know. I mean, message me. I'll send you the plug because he's a cool guy. He sells it with his wife out of this little like store that they also live in. And it's in Pasig lang, like near, like it's in San Juan, like Green Hills, like near that area, yeah. Down Wilson. Sobrang sulit, bro. So anyway, what did I do this week? I had two hostings this week, actually. So the first one was an awards night. And if you've ever been to any of those awards things, uso yung mga awards sa mga like, natawag dito mga insurance companies. I've hosted awards for insurance companies, for banks, usually for targets. But they hit certain targets, people get awarded. It's my first time to host an awards ceremony for a bookstore. And no, it's not National Bookstore. It's actually, I don't know if they're a store. They're like a books. They sell books. They're called Rex's.
A bookstore.
They're called Rex's Bookstore. Have you ever heard of them? Rex's?
Yeah.
So Rex's, R-E-X? I did not know. Yeah, R-E-X.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know. So they're like the biggest supplier of mga educational books. Mm-hmm, so I guess yung mga textbooks sa mga schools. There were different divisions during the awarding, mga higher education. I don't know what, I forgot the name of the other. So I'm guessing like they cater to all levels of education. Yeah. And I was just like, I was surprised. I'd never heard of them before. Anyway, that was really cool. It was held at this events venue called Glass House. I think Glass House or Glass Garden. I forgot. Sa Pasig. And I got a lot of replies from some people who said they were actually there the weekend before for a wedding. So it's also a wedding venue outside of just, you know, corporate events.
It's actually one of the wedding venues that we were looking at.
Oh, okay.
It's
really nice. Really? It is. And the best part, ang luwag ng parking, ang daming parking. It is.
Oh, that's good to know.
I would, I would put it, like, I would shortlist it right now. It is.
Right. Okay. Good to know. Good to know.
Yeah. I mean, not sobrang lapit, but it's close enough to me that it's not like driving all the way to, deep Marikina, for example. So that was cool. Shout out. And I just want to shout out to the Big Pink Pig production team. I've worked with them many times in the past. See, DirectNet, to Trisha, to Criselle, to Rhea, and there's like so many of them. But they are, for me, the best, I would say,
really?
Team that I work with. Oh my God, they are so organized and they're so generous. Only Coke Zero. Trisha gives snacks to every person in the team. Like she took the time, or somebody on their team took the time to put like different snacks. I mean, my assorted snacks. Like there's like Reese's cups, and then they put like Japanese cracker. Like literally, it's just the little extra touches. Plus, I mean, you know, you can do all of that, but if your team's not good during the event, then it doesn't really matter. But they are on point. Everything is on cue. It's a host's dream to work with a team like that. So if anyone out there is a, what do you call it? Like maybe you work for a company. Di ba minsan mga planning committees, they always have to look for like the production team. Yeah. I would highly suggest Big Pink Pig Productions. Like you can't forget the name, man. And then the next day, so back to back, so Friday yung award ceremony, on Saturday, which was yesterday, while we're recording, is I hosted a quinceanera of all things, right?
Because
for those of you who are unfamiliar, because in the States a lot of people know what a quinceanera is because there's a lot of Mexican people in the U.S. Quinceanera is it's typically a more Mexican celebration or Latin American celebration that celebrates a 15th birthday of a girl. Moving on to womanhood. That's like the whole thing. It's like a debut, but at 15 instead of 18.
Basically,
so US diba using sweet 16. Dito using debut. So in Mexico and I guess in like some places like in Spain, I guess quinceanera is that the big event for young ladies. And I had to keep myself from saying the debutante. The celebrant they're Filipino, their family's Filipino, but parang may lahi sila na Spanish, I think.
Okay.
And the mom can speak Spanish, so you know, more power to them. But it was cool. It was held in Acacia Hotel in Alabang, and funny enough, it was in the exact same ballroom that I hosted a wedding of a Lecce fan. I remember I talked about
really?
A wedding in December. Yeah. So it was in the exact same ballroom. So I knew the layout. It was great. And it was really fun. Like, all I had to say was, arriba! And people were just getting hyped because they're like, mga bata sila. They're all 15, 16 yeah. years old. And it was really fun. You know, it was a quick program. I know it wasn't a quick program, but the program was super simple. But I just want to talk about the after party because these kids are... I just want to say shout out to the young kids who know the songs that you and I were bumping and grinding to in our 20s in the nightclub.
What? Dude, like they had, I want to say Bartender.
The Bartender was, yeah, they knew Bartender. They knew okay. Gasolina by Daddy okay. Yankee. They knew how to Dougie. I mean, you know, Teach Me How to
really?
Dude, Teach Me How to Dougie came out when I was in high school. I think,
yeah, high school.
Right? And that it was all the rage back then. So I'm glad that these songs have stood the test of time. And I guess they're considered classics, right? But timeless. And it was so cool that, you know, they were able to like they but then on the other side of things, I did feel old because there were some songs that came on. I had no fucking idea what these songs were. And they all knew the lyrics, right? But there's that one guy, young British guy, C Central C.
Yeah,
they knew
yeah.
the all the words. I mean, really? I like his music, but I haven't really taken the time to kind of like listen to his.
And plus, he has an accent, and they and have like hot. A whole like yeah.
He's good looking,
no, though. I meant like his songs. It's all oh, yeah. like in his language. Yeah. Like even if you know that it's English, it just doesn't.
Is it
doesn't
cockney,
really
cockney
you know
ba yun or no?
Hindi ko alam. I think what cockney. I don't know. Eh.
Slang.
They have an accent, like a London accent here that says roadman. I don't know if I don't know if that's even offensive. I'm so sorry. I don't mean to be offensive, but like,
cool lang
boses
parang
ganun, eh. Like it's, yeah, it's, yeah.
And the songs are like banger. That. And they knew all the words. So I was like, fuck, yeah. I am out of touch with the pulse of the youth, you know? So shout out to Celine Batan. I guess one of the reasons I also got this hosting was because last year I hosted the debut of her older sister, and they liked what I did. So shout out to the Batan family. Small world as well. Her uncle did my knee surgery.
Really?
Yeah, right?
Was he there?
No, he wasn't there this time. He was at the debut. Okay. All right. So that's pretty much what I did this week. There is a funny story I want to share before I turn it over to you. So my friend messaged me, one of my friends from Rafa. He messaged me like, hey, I have a funny thing to tell you. So I was like, okay, tell me. And then he sent me a screenshot, bro.
Okay.
So, you know, you guys know how much I love Reddit, right? I love Reddit. He sent me a screenshot of Reddit, and it was my face. It was a screenshot of my Instagram. And also on the next slide was a screenshot of Gino Killiamore.
Okay.
Right? It was in a subreddit. called Trip Tayo Pre. Okay? TRIPTAYOPRE.
Okay.
Any guesses what that subreddit is all about, Rika G?
People you want to go on a road trip with.
Yeah. You know, it's close. Description says, it's a safe space for all Pinoy straight, bi curious, and gay bros for their trips and cruising stories, pictures, videos, and other relevant hot encounters.
What?
Dude,
you are living your life.
You'll be treated to mostly shirtless dudes on there. A lot of them are looking for some companionship.
Okay.
And
so was the thing that they were talking about?
The caption of the post, my friend, was, who's your ultimate Pinoy fantasy? Brother, it hit the top post of that day. Like, I was on the fucking front page of that subreddit. And then if you swipe, Gina, yeah. And, you know, I mean, yeah, I'm flattered. But they left our Instagram. Kaya, minsan nagtaka ako, I was like, bakit ang dami nagfo-follow sa akin bigla? Like, on that day, because I don't post really. And normally, I only get followers when I post. I got like 8 or 9 or 10 followers in like the span of like an hour. was like, what's happening? Did my reel like just pop off somewhere? Nope. It was, I'm pretty sure, I'm going to venture a guess that it came from the Reddit post, because they left our Instagram handles in the screenshot, bro.
Cool.
So,
I mean, a follow is a follow, and they might follow you for other things, you know, when they discover you for who you are and stuff like that.
And here's the best part, Mika G. Here's the best part. So, of course, you know, my curiosity, I had to go check the comment section, you know, feed my ego a little bit. Anyway, someone said, uy, si JC. And then the original poster said, uy, trip mo ba si, ano, trip mo.
Okay.
And then the next comment is, trip ko, pero nilaglag ng co-host na di masyadong hygienic. And then if you just go down the thread, like, someone, the person who said that said, like, parang di raw naliligo araw-araw. I don't want to spread fake news kasi baka nag-scramble na sa utak ko. But according to, and get this, Rika G, your name's not here, but according to his podcast mate, na discuss nila sa former show TMR, hindi lang siya siguro madidirin. Oh, diba? Oh, diba na feature ka din pa.
Okay, look, okay. I just want to get this on the record. Naniligo si JC araw-araw. Okay, I'm just shitting on him. Okay?
Well, to also, I mean, in fairness to the post, there is some truth to that. Hindi naman ako naliligo araw-araw if malamig.
Right? Oh, okay. Or okay.
Right?
I feel like that's the Amboy in you.
Yeah,
I
man.
Feel like it's the Amboy
yeah,
in
man.
You.
Yeah, man. So, wala lang. It's funny. So, if you want to check it, trip tayo, pre. Wala lang. I just want to share that story.
I'm the worst wingman. I'm
brother,
the worst wingman.
Brother. It was so fucking funny, man. Like,
gosh.
So obviously, the people on here listen to the podcast and listen to Monster. I see you. I see you. Anyway,
thank you for listening, you
thank
guys.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. And Finn, friend, how about you?
Okay. This week was just really not eventful for me, but I do want to say something. I feel like every week is like that. I really don't have anything to say.
Right.
But I do want to add something with what I'm going through. I feel like at this point, my life is already... Feeling ko every week ko na lang to pinag-uusapan.
Pero ang dami nakaka-relate sa'yo, ha? So
dude,
many people post and talk about
I know,
your...
But like, but I'm getting annoyed at this point already. Kasi parang feeling ko, that's all I talk about. And na-realize ko talaga that I feel like it's consuming my life. Okay? So if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, I'm currently job hunting. And actually, I really had to take a pause and take a step back and look at my life right now. Because I'm acting like I don't have anything at all in my life for me to get invested in. And then I had to remind myself, hey, you know, I have this part-time job and I have this freelance job with the AP. And those are actually really great jobs. It's just that it's not a full-time thing that I can sustain my life in. That's the reason why I am currently looking for a job that is full-time, you know, that I can get into it every single day, that I have a routine, that I have a big goal at the end of the month or the quarter or whatever. Yun yung hinahanap ko. Tapos parang I just really had to take a step back and kind of like appreciate what I have right now in my life. Kasi nalilimutan ko na, oh nga pala, no? Like I have like this part-time job and I have this freelance job in like a really good news, you know, agency. You know what I mean? Like, parang feeling ko minamaliit ko masyado kung ano yung meron ako sa buhay ko. Because just my... Na-consume na talaga siya ng buhay ko, as in. Mm. So anyway, this week actually, I attended this one free workshop. I follow this because even on Instagram, that's what my feed is all about. Like job hunting, how to, you know, edit your CV or use LinkedIn or whatever. Like literally, that is almost like... all of the videos on my Instagram reels. Mm. So I follow a lot of like job career advice people on
social
Instagram.
Media. Yeah,
on social media. And I must say, I do follow a lot of people from the States. So what they're talking about really is like the corporate job, like corporate America. That's what they're talking about. So minsan kailangan ko talaga siya para i-contextualize with, like, let's say, my experiences in the Philippines. Kasi hindi mo siya magagawa masyado you know, if hindi mo siya i-contextualize, it doesn't make sense.
True.
So anyway, I follow this one career coach. Her name is Careers by Chris on Instagram. And then she had this one free workshop online where it's basically just, it's really just motivating you na you're not starting from zero. You actually have all of these skills that it doesn't even matter if it doesn't match the description on the job that you want. You can, kumbaga parang transferable skill siya na you can actually like put words and twist words into it saying na you're up for this job. Parang ganon. Mm. Yun yung parang sinasabi niya dun sa free workshop niya na hindi ka starting from zero when you're looking for a job because you already have skills in your you know,
repertoire.
In your bag. Yeah. So yun yung sinasabi niya. And then at the end, obviously, like all of these career coaches and everything, obviously they're selling something, diba? They're selling like their services or like the website or ganito ganyan. And she was actually selling like this one bigger workshop that covers everything in detail and even has like a group discussion, may one-on-one kayo, ganyan, ganyan. And this is the first time that I actually bought something like that. So I invested in this kasi naisip ko sa sarili ko, I've been working on this for months by myself. So maybe I need to switch gears and invite somebody in who's a professional. So binili ko siya, hindi siya mura, okay? So originally... So it's a course. So it's an 8-week course about like, you know, like basically preparing you for an interview and even, yun nga, meron pang CV, like, what do you call that? Like writing and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So binili ko siya. And this is unlike me because hindi nga ako makabili ng ano eh, ng name brand mayonnaise eh, di ba? I can't even buy.
Ano name brand mayonnaise? Like what? Which like, is the name brand one for you?
Ano but like
QP?
I don't know, like,
QP is the best.
QP. I can't even buy QP kasi namamahalan ako. And then nagulat ako sa sarili ko because I feel like I am so determined and motivated to actually, you know, like step up in a job. You know what I mean? Mm. So, binili ko siya. So, originally, the whole thing is like $900.
Damn!
Yeah, dude. And she had like a 50% off and then even offered like a monthly payment of this thing. And then, once you complete the course, you have everything like already lifetime access.
Yeah.
So, I thought it was a good deal. 50% and then I would only pay like $102
per month.
For four months. Kasi 400 something na lang siya. So parang naisip ko, okay, fine. I mean, you know, you gotta spend money to make money, I guess.
And it's,
so.
it's like taking a certification class what do you call it? A skills or a trade, or trade school. I mean, it's paying for more education or more in that. To help you
more knowledge,
succeed.
I guess.
In the sense.
So parang naisip ko nga nung una, am I desperate? Is this what desperation looks like? And then naisip ko, actually, you know what? I'm not desperate. I'm just really determined. I'm just determined to get that job that I want and that will serve me and that I have a good work-life balance, that I don't have to break my back anymore. So I don't regret it at all. At first, meron ako nung, what's that phenomenon that happens when you buy something and then you instantly regret it?
Oh, that's buyer's remorse.
Yeah. So at first, I had buyer's remorse. And then, naisip ko, you know what? Where else is my money going anyway? It's towards me.
True.
Diba?
Right.
So,
skip
yun,
the mayonnaise and
I know,
yourself,
skip the
friend.
QP. Look, I'm not going to buy Heinz ketchup anymore. It's fine. Yeah, it's okay.
Generic ketchup, it's made from the same tomatoes.
It's all the same tomato, guys. Yeah. So that's what I did. And I feel like I'm proud that I took that step. And then at the same time, I had good news this week, actually, because there is this big podcast convention that's happening here in London in May. And then because it, like, the tickets are like £200 each, so almost $190 each for 2-day passes. I couldn't afford it, obviously. So I emailed them asking na parang, because they had like this bursary program. You just have to email them, tell them your story, why you want this, are you in the podcast world? So I emailed them everything and they gave me free tickets.
Nice! So, let's go!
Yeah, so I'm going to the podcast show London 2024. They have podcasts, basically like, not just like podcast creators, but like ad agencies, marketing agencies that market podcasts in like, you know, like the bigger stage.
Right.
So I just thought that it would be like a good like learning opportunity.
Are you going to have a, what do you call that? The ID that the says Halo Halo Show?
Oh my God. I wish. I wish. I feel like, you know what? I'm going to wear our shirt. It's
do
fine.
It, man.
So yeah, yeah. So that's another like good news, I guess, that I just have to highlight. Because at this point, feeling ko, alam mo yung kapag when you just really want something in life and you haven't really gotten it, feeling mo hindi ka pwede maging masaya, diba? May ganun ako eh. And I just thought to myself that that's just crap. Really, I don't. You know what I mean? Like, parang ang unfair for myself to not be happy just because I haven't really gotten to that goal. So parang I would go back to, you remember in Atomic Habits in with James Clear?
James Clear.
Yeah, when he said na, you know, like, the everybody has a goal. Everybody wants to win. So why doesn't everybody win? Why doesn't everybody like reach that goal? It's because it's not the goal that's important. It's how you set yourself every single day to do it. It's those little things in between. Dapat doon ka maging masaya. You know what I mean? Like, let's say your goal is to write 10,000 words for a thesis. Maging masaya ka that you do 10 words per day. Hindi yung nakarating ka sa...
Right, right. 10,000.
Diba? And it kind of makes sense. And I feel like that's what I'm doing right now. The little steps, I'm trying to be happy about it. Because if I don't, I'm just going to be fucking miserable, man. That's just gonna be, that's not cute at all. You know what I mean?
Ang galing mo mag-summarize. Yeah. That's pretty much the whole book. You know, if you don't want to read it, that's pretty much what Rika
that's
said.
It.
Is like the whole book, bro. It's a good book, James Clear.
It is
Habits.
A good book.
I read that 2018.
You know what? I know myself kasi. So, and that book, I always go back to it whenever I'm in a crisis. And I know I'm in a crisis when I start listening to the audiobook. Oh, yung parang feeling ko in denial pa ako na nasa crisis ako. Tapos once I'm listening, I'm like, yep, I'm in a crisis. I'm listening to James Clear again.
Does he narrate it himself or?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, he does. Oh,
I,
cool.
TBH, I kind of special agent John it because people upload it on Spotify.
Right.
Like,
but you have the book, though. You have the physical.
I do not.
Oh, shit.
I'm so sorry, James Clear, but I do believe, you know, in your whole...
No, once Rika gets a job, she's going to buy the book so that you can keep it as like your little mini Bible on your desk, right?
I know. Yeah. Anyway, what else happened? I think that's it.
That's it? Nice, man.
I think I want to say, oh, no, actually. Okay, so last night we started watching X-Men, okay?
97?
So, no, I'm so sorry to say.
Oh, the 90s.
I'm so sorry. No, so
oh,
we started
the movie, okay.
The movies.
Okay.
I know you were going to get too excited about
all right,
it.
All right.
But, so we started watching first X-Men Last Stand because...
The third one?
Like, the third one, okay?
You started with
then,
the worst X-Men movie of all
no,
time?
No, it's not the
X-Men
worst
Last Stand is the worst one consensus.
Wait,
like from
X-Men.
Wait.
Sorry. Wait.
First Class.
After First Class. Sorry.
Wait,
X-Men.
Days of Future Past.
Terms of. I'm so sorry. We watched Days of Future Past.
Oh, that's the best X-Men movie.
It's
good.
The best X-Men. Okay?
That's the best one.
Okay. I stand corrected. Okay. Yeah. So we watched Days of Future Past.
Uh-huh.
And from there, I feel like it's such a good starting point with all of my questions. Kasi parang naisip ko, okay, end ng Days of Future Past, buhay pa si Jean, di ba? Buhay pa si Jean. Nakita sila ni Logan, remember?
Yeah.
Like, because all that time, Logan was like, you know, like out of it. Diba? So, yeah, hindi niya maalala yung nangyari right after 1973. My question is, so from that point, nung nagising si Logan, I actually drew it on like paper. Tapos nagde-debate kami ni Ryan dito.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, right after magising ni Logan, dun pa lang nagsistart yung lahat ng other movies that will happen in the future.
No. How I understand it is, kasi
buhay pa si Gene.
Parang may ano eh, kasi there's a time travel. If you haven't seen the movie, there's a time travel element to it, right? And in the original, because the original X-Men movies with Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, it started with just X-Men, and then it became X-Men X2, and then X-Men Last Stand. So sa Last Stand, the third movie, which is considered the worst by most fans, they tried to do what is a well-known comic story called the Phoenix Saga. That's where Jean becomes the Phoenix. She takes the powers of Phoenix, and she like fucks everything up because she's so powerful and shit, right?
Yeah.
So anyway,
powers niya talaga ni Jean.
She has she's a telepath. Like she can read minds and shit, and she can also she can move objects and shit with her mind and stuff.
Like okay.
That. So anyway, in the Phoenix thing, usually what ends up happening in the different kinds of iterations of the Phoenix story, whether in comics or in movies or in the TV show, Jean dies, right?
Yeah.
So, and Logan's the one who killed her in X-Men 3, by the way, right? So anyway, because of the whole time travel thing and because of the hate towards X-Men 3, what I think they did, Days of Future Past, is they kind of reworked the story so that it's like a new timeline. Parang ganun, right? Where I think they still considered X-Men 1 and 2 still canon, but they erased everything that happened to X-Men 3. That's why buhay pa si Cyclops, diba? At the end of that movie. Because they killed Cyclops off-screen, by the way, in X-Men 3. So, fuck, I was so mad. And they made Cyclops such a, like, he was not cool. Because Cyclops is so fucking cool. That's why I love X-Men 97, because they finally made Cyclops cool. But anyway,
because he has a cool power.
He's cool as fuck, and he's the leader. Okay. And he's considered, because Captain America is very popular because of the MCU now. He is the mutant Captain America in the comics. Like, he is the leader. Yeah. He is stoic. He has values and shit that he stands by. And he was not cool in the movies.
Yeah, I do agree. I do agree. But, okay, so when it comes to Days of Future Past, and then after that is X-Men Origins Wolverine, right?
No, Wolverine is before that. Are you talking about the timeline?
No, I meant the timeline.
In the timeline, I guess so, but...
Kasi, pero ang question ko doon, in between those two movies, hindi alam ni Wolverine na totoo na nangyayari yung Wolverine the time traveled, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. I feel like it gets super confusing because of the time jumps and shit. They erased a lot of stuff because it's Days of Future Past, and then it's X-Men Origins Wolverine. That's the one where he goes to Japan, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah. But TBH, can I just say it is actually really it's actually really fun to watch. And especially, like, if you watch it in chronological order or if you watch it, like, when they released it with a year and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And my comment with Days of Future Past is those robots that kills the mutants.
The Sentinels?
Basically, the Sentinels, they're basically fucking Transformers. Yeah. I'm not happy about that. the way they even, like, made the whole robot, they look like Transformers. And I'm like, dude, you better pay whoever created Transformers for that.
Right.
But anyway, so we watched that and I started watching Prison Break. Did I tell you about that?
You did not. Yeah. I love the first two seasons of Prison Break.
Yeah, so I started watching Prison Break. First of all, if you have anxiety, I feel like that is not...
Have you never seen it before?
I have never seen
it. Oh, you're in for
never.
A ride.
Zero. I have no idea. I didn't even... The only thing I know about Prison Break is that his tattoos are like basically the blueprint of the prison.
The map.
That's it.
Yeah,
the map. So I really like each time there's a barrier and there's like a challenge that they can't go through with a plan. I feel like you must be so confident for you to actually like shoot up a bank and go to prison and feel like it will just be easy breezy lemon squeezy.
How much do you love your brother, right?
Exactly.
How much could you actually love your sibling that you put yourself in prison to help break him out, right?
Yeah, that's insane. But
first
anyway,
two seasons of Prison Break are top tier TV, Rika G. Like, if you haven't seen it, the first two seasons are great. I'm not going to tell you why I stopped watching.
I'm halfway through, but it is so good.
The first two seasons, top
tier. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. So there, I think I'm going to fin right there so we can continue with our TTs.
Wapow. All right, let's start with our first TT, talking about the son of Bea Fabregas and Nico Ramos. So you might be familiar with them, especially if you're in the radio, if you listen to radio here in the Philippines. They were, I don't know if Bea's still there, but Nico and Bea, they were Magic 89.9 DJs and a whole assortment of things now. So Nico works for Titan. Like, he's like the, I forgot what his title is, but he's one of the top dogs in Titan. You know, the shoe, they sell like basketball shoes and stuff. He's so cool. I just want to say he's so cool. And so if anyone knows
like
Nico Ramos,
editor-in-chief of
something
Slam
like Slam, if anyone knows Nico Ramos, just tell him how much I love him. I could message Bea, I guess. But
you could message Nico Ramos himself. I feel like,
dude,
I'm sure he knows you.
No, I don't
you're
think
in the
so.
Same industry.
I don't think so, dude.
Pero
I think,
grabe, no? Ang galing din eh, kasi parang with how, because he has a podcast, right?
Yeah, Call to Arms, RMS.
Call to Arms, yeah. Grabe yung mga guests niya.
Dude, he had Doris Burke on his podcast,
yeah, dude.
Man.
I would be so nervous talking to Doris Burke.
For real. Because, you know, Nico, he does a whole, but he's super into basketball and he's always one of the, like, the basketball minds that people... when there's like basketball stuff to be talked about, they always get him for that. And then Bea Fab naman, also great. She is a fantastic host, by the way. Like, I think we were talking about it, right, Rika? Like every event, if Bea Fab's not there, that's when they call you. Right? That's like me and Justin Quirino.
Yeah,
right.
Dude.
I'm like, dude.
I'm not saying that I'm like next. Most of the time it really happens. Yeah, it really happens.
Good. And she's also super big on social media. And I mean, she was kind of big before, but she blew up. And that's kind of the line that we're going to go down, because she posted a video last week of their son Tyler, who's super cute, by the way. And the video is her recording Tyler, and he's saying, like, where's Beyonce? Like, the video is basically...
He was saying, like, Beyonce is my friend.
Yeah. Like, it was so cute. You have to go watch the video. Just go to Bea Fabregas on her Instagram. I don't know if she uploaded it on TikTok. But it came to the point where the video got so much traction. It got so many views, so many shares and whatnot. And it actually reached Queen Bee herself eventually.
Amazing.
It was so cool. Yeah, so she was contacted by, like, the publicist, Yvette Noel Shure. They contacted her, and it was even reposted by Tina Knowles, the Beyonce's mom. So it went international. And the coolest part is that Beyonce actually sent Tyler a toy and blue. I didn't know they were associated with Beyonce, but sent him flowers, and it's just such a cool feel-good story. Because I feel like a lot of our TTs is controversial stuff. This one, you cannot be mad at all for.
Yeah, it's
any
just a
reason.
Feel-good topic.
Yeah.
And I saw in one of the comments down the post, they even reached Australian news. Like, they were featured in like a news channel or something in Australia, which is really cool.
Yeah,
and you know what, actually, you know what's insane about that is because, you know, and we all know, and I think they also know that Beyonce is up there. You cannot
she's unreachable.
Reach her.
She's unreachable.
You cannot reach her. So for this to happen actually is just like a once in a lifetime thing. But I feel
literally.
Like they're also like, I feel like they're in Beyonce's, you know, eye
vision
level
now.
Already. Yung parang like kilala na niya si Tyler. And I'm
right?
like, that's just insane to know, because
you can't even take photos with Beyonce sometimes. Like, it's so hard. So galing. I mean,
that
that's
so
we're never gonna reach Beyonce, man. I don't care how many I could tag her every day for the rest of my life. No, Beyonce's not gonna notice me, man. Right? So shout out to Tyler and man.
Tyler is gonna have such a bright future.
Yeah. For real. I mean, I know, you know, he's probably not gonna remember it, like, because he's young, right? He's like, I don't know how old he is, like four.
But that would be such a cool story to tell him. Such, you know what I mean?
Dude. Yeah. That's going to be on his Tinder profile when he turns, you know, 18. It's going to be
I went viral.
Why? That's something that you could use for the rest of your life. It's so cool.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
It's so cool.
It is really cool. Yeah.
One of the cool things that come out of social media.
It's like that baby in the Nirvana album.
Yeah. Or the Charlie Bit My Finger, bro. I would be I'm the Charlie Bit My Finger kid. I would be using that my whole life, right?
Yeah.
So,
but
out.
It is just really just good news and feel good news that that comes out of the internet, because usually anything that comes out on the internet is just pure trash.
That's true. And it's cool too, because it's close to home. I mean, you and I both know Bea Fab personally. Mm-hmm. And you know, at least it's a lot of people know her in the Philippines as well because of her, you know, her body of work. You should follow them both on Instagram, by the way, Nico, if you're into basketball. Bea does so much now, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy. She does fashion. She does mom, like, you know,
she's
mom
basically
stuff.
Like celebrity status.
Celebrity status, pretty much, man.
Yeah, for sure.
And
for
my
sure.
favorite series of hers is her learning how to dance with her sister. And I was telling Erika when we were pre-prodding the podcast today, the first video that I think went viral for them that I always go back to is when they dance to Cruel Summer. It's the fucking funniest video. Like, it's so funny.
Wait, for you pala yung Cruel Summer?
Well, sa TikTok. Sa TikTok.
Is there a
choreo? Natatawa ko sana sa part na yun. So good, man. Anyway.
Yeah, it is really funny. And every time she posts those videos, it's like millions of views. True.
Congratulations to Tyler. I'm guessing Ramos, no? Tyler Ramos.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, cool story. Shall we wapow to our next TT? Wapow. What are we talking about? So we're talking about Bretman Rock. Rika G's laughing because she just went to the bathroom and we had to pick up, right? We forgot. Bretman Rock. So Bretman Rock. Who is Bretman Rock? I don't think he needs an introduction, but just in case you didn't know, he's just famous now. I don't even know if you can describe, just like Bea Fab. We can't really put her in a celebrity now, right? So Bretman Rock, he went viral this week because of a comment that he left on a gym coach here in the Philippines who posted a video which caught a lot of flack because the caption on the video, it's him doing, what do you call it, tricep extensions, like tricep overhead extensions. And the caption on the video was, bakla ako pag hindi ko nabuhat to. So in English, I'm gay if I don't, you know, lift this weight, right?
Okay.
And Bretman Rock, in true Bretman Rock fashion, said, read the comment, posted a comment, said, since you're back on my FYP, let me just read you some more, and called him, because his name is Coach Edison, called him Roach Edison. Okay. Only if you were as strong as your braces trying to keep your teeth together, you wouldn't need motivation. It's the way that last rep didn't even count because you didn't lock up. Sis, you are gay! I call caps. And then lastly, he says, lastly, I'm so glad I'm not pangit, weak, and straight.
Right. I mean, as you should, Bretman Rock. Good for him for like clapping back that way. And plus, I mean, like, are you stuck in 1990 or something? Right. Like, did nobody tell you this is not the way to go, and this is not how to act in public, aka online? Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He actually went on saying that he actually just copies other people's posts and it wasn't really directed towards anybody, but it doesn't even have to be directed to anybody.
Yeah.
That message is a homophobic, like, you know, that there is like parang an underlying message there that's homophobic. So, sabi niya online, sabi niya na, before ako mag-post, tumingin muna ako sa ibang content sa TikTok na katulad ng ipopost ko. Basically, I feel like by saying this, he's washing his hands of it. Na sinasabi niya, hindi, ginaya ko lang to, hindi ko naman to originally thought. Hindi ko to original na idea. And this is not how I think. But why would you post it if you don't believe right. it? You know what I mean? Exactly. And then he continued on by saying, hindi ko po siya pinopost to harm your feelings. Wala po akong ibang intention na saktan kayo or ma-offend kayo. Saying that I didn't post it to hurt your feelings. I have no intention to hurt or offend you. But you did. And you should have known that. And you know that, and especially that, you know, I'm sure he's a coach. He's selling his services, his business. He has a business that you should know to take, basically not shit on your clients. Pretty right?
Much. Diba? Pretty much, yeah. And I mean, the video perpetuates, go ahead.
Yeah. No, actually, he did say that he has clients from the LGBTQ plus community. He sees them as strong individuals who endure despite the judgment they receive from society. If you do believe that, then why would you post? It,
right?
It doesn't make sense.
It's done. It doesn't make... Stay in the draft, sis, right?
Yeah.
Stay in the draft. But I think it does highlight the, I mean, the video and the message of that video does perpetuate yung stereotypes of... like gay people are weaker or not manly or not strong, et cetera, et cetera. But I mean, it's nothing new. And I feel like, right, it's something that I don't know, because I'm a guy, right? So growing up, I feel like it still exists. It's existed throughout time. Because when I was young, maybe like 10, 12, 11, 13, whatever, the word gay was meant to, was usually used as a derogatory term when you couldn't do something that was quote unquote, you know, masculine or manly enough, etc. And so it exists all the time. And I mean, this is just one of the many contributing factors, right? Having
actually, minsan nga confused ako because I always hear that still up until now. I hear that with, you know, friends, family. Yung parang even in passing na parang, oh, parang ka namang bakla or parang ganun. Mm. Kind of like saying that being gay is a bad thing. Yeah. Okay, and I hear that all the time. Not just online, not just on TV, but also with my friends and family. Mm. But my question is, okay, when I hear it, let's say, in a comedy show, usually in like stand-up comics, they always say that, na parang, dude, you gay or something. And then everybody laughs. Mm. I don't get, or parang hindi ko gets kung paano siya okay in that setting and not okay in other settings. Or is it actually also not okay in that setting when you're on stage as a comic? Diba?
I guess it depends on context.
Pero kasi alam mo, naiisip ko, let's say when I watch these, you know, stand-up comics on like whatever, like the stage, and then they say that remark, everybody laughs. But what if you are gay? You know what I mean? Like in the audience.
I guess it depends on the approach of the joke. Because I've seen a lot of videos then as well that also have like gay jokes, but usually it's crowd work and it's usually a gay person involved and it seems like they're enjoying it. I mean, in terms of, you know, they're laughing along, not being laughed at, but laughing along. So I guess it really depends on the approach of the joke, I would say. I mean, because, you know, there's a lot of topics where that's why in terms of comedy there, especially now, there's a lot of issue regarding like, what can you joke about nowadays?
Yeah.
If everything is taboo, like how can you look at the lighter side of things? So I guess it depends on the context of it all. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Honestly, for me, personally, I don't find it funny. Whenever, you know, close friends of mine, acquaintances make that joke, in my head, it's never funny. Mm. I never really like, Pero hindi ko din kasi alam yung, hindi ko din kasi alam na, especially like with straight males who grew up as straight males.
Right.
And you know, who grew up with this kind of vocabulary na sinasabi lang nila ito in passing and not really meaning anything by it.
Mm.
But I feel like even if you don't mean anything by it, I feel like it's still hurtful. So, wala lang. Parang I just really don't find it funny, honestly. Right.
Yes.
Na parang feeling ko, if you do make that joke, it is such a weak joke. You know what I mean? Like, parang easy out na gusto mo na lang maging nakakatawa na hindi ka naman actually kasi nakakatawa. You know what I mean? I never laugh at that. Like, whenever anybody, like, does that in passing, parang, weird. What a weird thing to say out loud.
And speaking of, just to go back to the video, punta ka lang sa Reddit, trip tayo pre. All of the guys in there, they're like buff. And they're, dude. I mean, most of them are, I mean, I'm not even assuming, like, they're looking for guys. So I'm guessing they're either gay or bisexual or whatever. Mm. They are ripped as fuck, bro. Some are ripped as Bretman Rock. Bretman Rock is
Bretman Rock
body
is
goals.
Yeah.
Dude, if you go look at a before and after of Bretman Rock, the work that he put in to look as fucking good as he does now. I remember there's a Halloween costume he wore. I don't know how many years ago. It was from Mortal Kombat. He was Liu Kang. And he looked like a superhero. It was crazy how ripped he is, man. And if you watch any videos of him lifting, he's lifting. It's not lightweight.
He really breaks stereotypes with his videos that he posts. He lift weights. Like he does, what do you call this? Like deadlifts in skirts. And everything. And, you know, he's not shy. And I feel like that's really how it's supposed to be. I mean, like, we're talking about lifting weights here. And wala namang bawal at hindi bawal. If you do want to go to the gym, if you do want to get ripped, if you want to lift weights, you can be anybody who you want to be, really, for you to go to the gym. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense na, ano, pag bakla, you can't go to the gym. You can't be ripped. Dude, have you seen half of the people out
most
there?
Most of the gay guys I know are fucking yoked, bro.
Yeah, dude.
And they love leg day. Like, I remember seeing a tweet saying, like, gay guys love leg day more than straight guys. And straight guys hate leg day. That's like, I know that. Like, all my straight friends who go to the gym.
Why?
I hate leg day. Oh, don't skip leg day. There's a saying, like, oh, it looks like they skip leg day or don't skip leg day. Because it's not popular, but most of the gay guys I know, their butts are amazing.
Amazing. Ako, as much as like I appreciate like a really, you know, like well-formed butt, like that muscle, whatever you call it, the glutin, whatever.
Gluteus maximus.
The gluteus maximus or whatever. Right. But I really appreciate a good calf.
Oh, like, good calves.
Dude,
kapag... Pero ang laki na mga calves ng mga Pinoy.
Yeah, dude. Strangely enough. Pag nakita ko yung parang calf na parang, whoa, like, you know that, you know, they're not missing leg day.
But weirdly enough, yung mga, at least in the basketball scene, Pinoys are known, in the States, yung mga Pinoys, they're known for having big calves. Like muscular calves. I don't know what it is. I think it's like genetics.
It might be.
I don't know what it stemmed from. Like, maybe our ancestors were like runners or like, I don't know. You know how sometimes like down the line because of things that happened in the past, that's why certain traits are passed down. Now, what do you think?
Yeah.
You know, do you have any idea why?
No, but actually, you know what? Can I just say, speaking of running, I've seen a lot of running content on my FYP lately.
Okay.
I don't know if it's like all of the running clubs on like in Metro Manila or something, but it's like, I feel like right now, it's like the cool sport to be in.
Running kasi and parang, pickleball or paddleball.
Pickleball?
Pickleball.
Really?
Pickleball is so fucking popular in the
really?
US. And it's taking, I see a lot of people playing pickleball nowadays here. My
is
mga
it,
pickleball clubs.
Yun ba yung sa wall?
No, that's squash.
Ah, squash.
Yung pickleball
I kind of want to
is a mix
try
between
that.
Tennis. It's tennis, but with a paddle. And the ball, I think, is lighter or whatever. I don't know. Basta, it's not as hard to get into as tennis.
Okay, as tennis.
That's what I understand. I've never played it myself. I do want to try. But yeah, paddleball is gaining traction here as well. Like, I see a lot of my friends playing that shit. So yeah. Anyway, any more thoughts on Bretman Rock, his clapback or,
whatever.
Or Coach
I feel like I am on Bretman Rock's side on this.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
so just like if you are gonna post like gym motivation, there are so many other things that you can post about and not shit on other people.
Do you have a favorite gym motivator content creator that you could
watch? I do, actually. Right now, I'm following this one gym content creator. Her name is Nelly... Oh my gosh.
I have one as well. Sige.
My phone just died. Anyway, Nelly... Nelly... Ito, Samara Sekera there. So, Nelly.SamaraSekera on Instagram. So basically, she is like yoked, okay? Really? And I feel like we have the same, alam mo yung parang same body type kind of thing. So I feel like following her workouts would also benefit me and might have the same effect, although we do have different bodies. But basically, she is in law school. She has a finance 9-to-5, and she goes to the gym almost every single day. Damn. And she's not shy about it. So she has a full-time job. She's going to law school. And then her goal is to be a yoked lawyer. That's what she wants to be. Right. And she is. Yeah. And I like her workouts because it's short, it's punchy. And basically, like, her messaging is like, you can do all of this and squeeze in a workout. It's fine. Okay. So I really like it.
What's her name again for all the Lecce fans?
Samara Sekera.
How do you spell Nelly?
Nelly dot Samarasekera. So, okay, pag sinerch mo lang yung Nelly dot Samara, you'll see her.
Lalabas na, okay.
Yeah.
My recommendation before we move on is this Asian guy. His Instagram is hybrid.calisthenics. Because me, as someone who has zero flexibility, he shows you like different variations, or at least, you know, what do you call it? Is it variation? But there's, you know how sometimes you can't do certain stretches because it's dangerous because you don't have the flexibility for it?
Yeah.
He shows different ways to, like, how to start from a different position. And
I see this dude.
You see this guy, dude? He's so crazy. He can do the craziest shit. He can lift himself up with one arm like parallel to the ground. And he's so cool. Like, his content is quick. Like you said, it's also like punchy. It gets the point across, and it's not like super hard sell. And it's kind of funny too. So I would recommend Hybrid Calisthenics.
Calisthenics is not like, it's not an easy thing to do.
It's so cool. Like, especially, I mean, parkour kind of falls into that.
Yeah.
Parkour people are next level.
Because you need so much control from your core.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, that's parang usually when you see a lot of people who are practicing calisthenics, usually they're not as jacked. Like, they're not, like, their muscles.
Yeah, they're not like bodybuilder size. Yeah.
Yeah. They're lean, but they're so strong.
They're strong.
That's insane.
There was a time in high school where I was watching parkour videos like all the time.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough. So, wala lang. So anyway, shall we wapow to our next TT?
Wapow! All right. Okay. Our last TT for today is actually one of like the biggest issues that happened this week, and it involves the international artist Banksy. So basically, the post that was originally viral was a post from BGC, or Bonifacio Global City, saying, spraying soon, quote, art is not a crime, Banksy Universe PH, Metropolitan Museum of Manila, saying that they're going to have an exhibition or something or a project with Banksy. And then that's when people kind of like got to thinking, first of all, like, a lot of people actually liked it, and they did, like, you know, like, they celebrated that, wow, you know, Banksy's coming here and something like that. But then people also started to question if this is legit or not, because if you do know Banksy, if you go to his website, actually, one of the things that he highlights is licensing. And it says on the website, are you a company looking to license Banksy art for commercial use? Then you've come to the right place, because you can't. Okay.
You can't.
And then licensing, and then it continues saying, only pest control office have permission to use or license my artwork. If someone else has granted you permission, you don't have permission. So basically, he wrote in his book, copyright is for losers, but he encourages anybody to take and amend their artwork because he wrote that because he encourages anybody to take and amend his artwork for their own personal amusement, but not for profit. Right. So another thing, do you have anything to say about that before?
Well, you mentioned Pest Control. So people who might not know, because I didn't know until I read the articles, Pest Control is the organization that handles Banksy. I don't know in what capacity. I don't know if they, because, you know, Banksy is anonymous, right? Like, no one knows. So I don't know how Banksy communicates with Pest Control. Hmm. Like, does he use a burner phone? Or Discord,
I think at this point, I think at this point, it's a whole company already. Like, it's a whole organization. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it's not just one person calling.
Who started,
all the
by
shots.
The way, in Bristol, where you were studying. Dude. I didn't know that. So, Rika told me a quick story about it.
I studied in Bristol for a year. And one of the first things that my friends told me, do you know Banksy? You know, like, his artwork is everywhere. And what's cool about it is when you ride the bus in Bristol, any bus, you just look up in one of the buildings and you'll see a Banksy artwork, which is so cool because a lot of people travel far away to, you know, see a Banksy artwork. And in Bristol, it's just everywhere. And that's just really cool. Yeah. Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, back to the topic at hand. So, yeah, initially people were excited because, you know, Banksy, oh, who doesn't want to see, like, stuff done by Banksy? But people are calling out, like, is this legit? And it turns out it wasn't, right? And then a lot of people were also, another topic that came to light was the relationship of artists to the government and how artists are viewed in general, etc. So let's, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, especially I think one of the things that people found ironic is how BGC or the relationship of artists, of local artists with BGC, because you know that BGC is actually really well known for their artwork in certain buildings, for murals. Yeah. And then
Jappy Agoncillo.
Yeah. Diba? And they're actually pretty famous. And, but local artists are actually telling people about their own experiences when they want to express their art. Mm-hmm. And they would get, what do you call this? Basically, they would get in trouble. And sometimes people would even threaten them to, like, get arrested. So basically, parang si Banksy, whatever he believes in, it just doesn't kind of, like, align with how BGC handles, like, local artists or their relationship with local artists. So, apparently, the Metropolitan Museum of Manila says that the exhibit is actually not authorized by Banksy. And I feel like when we discuss this, we will never know what they were planning initially.
Yeah, because I don't know if they're going to go through with it, right? But wala nang updates, because they took down the post, if I'm not mistaken, and then they issued that statement. I mean, on one end of things, okay, before we go into, like, I guess the pros and cons of them doing that in the first place. I think a fitting. So there's a Filipino spoken word artist and poet named Alfonso Manalastas. No relation, by the way, in case you know my name. It's Manalastas in real life. But I think they captured it pretty well. It says, so absurd that while Filipino graffiti artists experience material precarity, forced to contend with limited public spaces to exhaust their art and activism, even often met with legal consequences, the likes of Banksy are endorsed by elite spaces like the Metropolitan Museum. And by the way, precarity, I learned a new word, you know, vocabulary. It means lacking in predictability or, you know, security, job security, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, I think that kind of encompasses the divide between people. I think a lot of people who were upset at this whole thing are people in the creative world and also people who are artists and people who feel like they don't have a platform that they could, you know, showcase whatever. Well, in this case, it's art, like visual art.
And then people also went on by saying it's ironic that a Banksy exhibit will be shown in BGC without the approval of the original artist. And at the same time, local artists are forbidden from taking photos using a proper camera while within the confines of BGC. And even the original post that BGC posted was art is not a crime, quote unquote, when they already have history of people, of local artists, kumbaga parang getting threatened with, you know, like getting arrested or being in trouble, basically. Yeah. Diba? Okay. Parang it just doesn't make sense.
Right.
And then, yeah.
But on the other side thing, okay, just to, you know, to play devil's advocate as well. At what point do you, because, I mean, if there is no law at all, right, saying, oh, you can just graffiti anywhere and whatnot, what, couldn't that also be, I mean, I feel like there's also has to be some sort of rule. Like, do you think that there should be some sort of rule? Like,
because
you can't have, like, if I've, you've seen in like, in the movies, and if you go to these places in real life, like ghetto areas that are vandalized with graffiti, and it just looks, it doesn't look pleasing to the eye, because graffiti could mean so much. Like, there's beautiful graffiti, there's graffiti that just does not look good, there's a vulgar graffiti, right?
Yeah,
so at what point do you kind of, I mean, it's kind of a line that you have to tiptoe as well, because you can't be like, oh no, go ahead, you know, do whatever you want, but at the same time you also can't be like, with this exhibit in particular, art is not a crime, and look, like, we're so open to it, blah blah blah. So there's a divide there, right? There's some sort of disconnect. How does that work in your mind? If it was free, would it be an issue?
Actually, yun nga rin yung naisip ko eh, na parang if it was free, but then again, it will also benefit them in a way, even if it was free, because. Kasi parang pa-partner sila with such a well-known artist, with such a well-known brand and name, that it will just, kumbaga parang meron pa ding mutual
financial gain.
Gain. Even if it was a free thing.
Right.
Diba? So yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. I guess siguro yung parang problem ng mga tao dito is how they handled local artists before. When, you know, they didn't have that rule that you can't do graffiti in the walls of BGC. Pero kasi gets ko din naman, because you can't just do whatever you want. Right. But I think maybe the problem is how they handled it.
And it also because it's an artist like Banksy who is renowned for, you know, standing up against capitalism.
Yeah.
Because if this was like, I mean, a couple of years ago, pre-pandemic, but there was the Van Gogh Live experience or whatever. And, you know, people go to the Louvre and all these, you know, to see the overrated Mona Lisa, right? Like, they are, people pay to see art as well, and it's never been an issue. So I think it's because Banksy is the name in question is why.
For sure.
But then because of that, it brought up these issues that we've been discussing.
But I actually hope that this, because of this whole thing, that it actually contributes, or it actually makes the administration of BGC think about how they handle local artists who want to actually like graffiti a wall, and they're good. Alam mo yun, yung parang how they handle these people as humans and as artists, that they're not just there kasi peste sila, or, you know, they're criminals or something.
Yeah.
And I hope that, you know, they do something about it.
Yeah, and
because
I'm sure
like they have the money and space to do it.
But it's also, I mean, like, a lot of the buildings in BGC are not exclusively owned by like the city of Taguig, right? Like, there are private buildings as well.
It's also
gotta, you know, there's gotta be some sort of order of operations to make this all work. Whether that's a thing that maybe BGC can, you know, open up to the tenants of the city, whether the big buildings or BGC's own, like, but they have High Street and all these like well-known places. Kasi ang ganda ng mga murals na commission. I mean, if you see them.
True. And some of them are very iconic. Like, remember that astronaut?
The astronaut, the one it's right by the basketball court that I always play on. Where the old Mercato Central used to be. And then there's also that polar bear one that I see people take pictures with. I don't know if you've seen that one. Because if you've seen other art in cities, I forgot which cities I've been to. San Francisco has a lot of that as well. Ang ganda eh. And it's a tourist attraction as well for people. So,
diba? I guess siguro yung question dito, bakit pwede si Banksy tas hindi pwede yung, you know, yung kapitbahay mo that's really good in graffiti.
Yun.
Yun, diba? Yung parang mapapaisip ko eh. Dahil ba si Banksy, he's worth like millions? Or
is he? Is he worth millions though?
I mean, like, I don't know if the money actually goes anywhere. I don't know if people
because he's
buy
able
that.
To travel around, right? So he has money. I just don't know, like, do you think he has a 9-to-5?
That would be really interesting if... Yeah. I would be really interested to know kung not even who he is or she. It could be a she. It
could be a she.
Yeah. I just want to know what's going on with their lives.
Yeah.
You know?
It's interesting, right? Like, I want him to go on Hot Ones with Sean Evans.
Diba? And like, cover their face. Like... Yeah. Alter the voice, whatever. Right. I just want to know. Diba?
You have a favorite Banksy piece? Like, since you were in Bristol, do you have a favorite one there?
If I'm not mistaken, it's not my favorite, but it's something that's has always stuck with me. It's that one piece where it was in an auction or an
and then
museum,
it self-destructed.
It self-destruct, like the shred in front
that
of
shit
people.
Was cool as fuck.
But the thing is, even if it was like quote unquote it was destroyed, I don't think it was destroyed because the whole shredding of the thing was the art itself, right?
Yeah. So and they were selling it, anyway. Whatever it was. It was at an auction, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
It sold for like $1 million+. So anyway, that's any more thoughts on Banksy and BGC and art?
I think just to close this TT, so the official statement from the Metropolitan Museum of Manila, they shared their motivation why they wanted to do this exhibit. Mm-hmm. They feel that this is a unique opportunity to learn more about Banksy's art and explore the universality of the many piercing social, political, and domestic issues it raises. Right. Then they said that while Banksy Universe Manila 2024, like many such exhibitions in museums around the world, is not authorized or endorsed by Banksy, it will feature over 100 works that trace the trajectory of Banksy's career, affording visitors a closer look into the themes that preoccupy him, as well as the transformative power of art. So I'm just guessing, siguro, ang point nila dito is to bring the artwork closer to the Filipino people.
I mean, it's a cool concept. I mean, I honestly probably would have checked it out if it continued. I probably would have checked it out. I wouldn't have minded paying money to see it. But then when you look at, I guess, the history of the artist, him or herself, see Banksy, that's where you know, you're like, oh, okay, maybe I shouldn't be paying for this. Mapapa dalawang isip ka, you're gonna think twice. So, I mean, it'd be cool. I mean, I want to know more about Banksy's work because I haven't seen a lot. I've seen the ones that were, you know, popular, you know, the girl with the balloon. Is it a heart? Yeah. I mean, I know the iconic ones, but I'm sure there's so many that has so much meaning behind it that I don't know about that I would love to learn about. So,
wouldn't it be cool if, like, nakatabi ko na pala si Banksy one time?
Dude, I'm sure nasa Bristol, sa train. Bus. Dude.
Or some, I don't think he rides the bus.
Dude, you never know.
Who knows?
Man. He or she is a chameleon. That's why they're able to do these pieces and not get caught. Right?
Yeah.
So, wapow.
There. Wapow.
That's the podcast, man. Oh, Rika G, do you have your phone is dead, right?
Yeah.
I got on the Halala Show Instagram, we got a very cool message. From their name is Kit. I'm not going to just give the full name, but Kit messaged us and I'm just going to read it. It says, "Hey, JC and Rika, my wife, Christine, and I have been such huge fans of the Halala Show podcast starting in 2020 when we first listened to your show during our long pandemic drives throughout California. Even though we live busier lives now since then as parents to a toddler and a newborn." Hey. Congratulations. "We always stand updated with each new episode without missing a beat. That said, we're actually heading to the Philippines for vacation." And they gave the dates. And here's the coolest part, Rika G. They made custom Funko Pops of you and me.
No way. No way. That is so cool.
Dude, and they took from one of our YouTube videos. Look.
Oh my God.
I don't know if you can see it. Dude, I'm showing Rika right now because... Dude, they
got so cute.
I remember this hat. I wore this hat when we recorded one time. And you're wearing a yellow jacket. And then there's like little there's a, you can't really see, but there's like a little halo cup.
Oh my gosh, that is so cute.
So cool. What a cool, thoughtful thing to do.
Oh my gosh.
And they asked if we could meet up and stuff. Obviously, you can't, but I told them I would love to meet them and receive the gifts and just, you know, get to know them a little bit.
That is really nice. Oh, yeah. I wish we would like line up the dates of when I'm coming back to the Philippines, because I'm coming back to the Philippines soon.
Ah, talaga?
Yeah.
July? Oy, baka pwede.
First 2 weeks.
Oh, baka pwede. I won't give you. Oh, man.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. Okay. That's really nice. But we had actually another message from Instagram that I said we were going to talk about. If you could look at it.
Yeah, what, from who?
Al, is it?
What was it about? Alan Gary, who was also one of my first fans on RX. Like I remember getting a lot of tweets from him. He would even visit the booth. So Aaron, you want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I guess a mini got us a question. Let your fan mail combo here. It says, hi JC and Rika, I have a question. How do you guys handle being rejected on a job? For context, I'm currently employed but job hunting for 3 months now for career growth, quote in quotes. To be more specific, being rejected on the final interview. Well, TBH, siguro baka nag-overthink lang ako kasi kakatapos lang ng final interview. Anyway,
oh, so he doesn't even know yet.
Doesn't know yet. I mean, I don't know. This was sent last week, so maybe they know now. But what's your answer to that question? So once again, how do you handle being rejected on a job or for a job or on a job interview?
Have you ever been rejected
for a job interview? Rejected in the sense that they ghosted me.
Most of the time I feel like that's how it goes.
I've gotten a couple emails even here when I've been doing freelance stuff saying like, oh, we decided to go with a different host or thank you very much. I mean, I have. So I'm sure you have in your life as well, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. And I do remember because RX was the first company that I actually quote unquote like applied for, because we didn't really apply for it. We auditioned to be like the radio DJ.
Why ka student jack at nagsimula, di ba?
So actually I did audition to be a radio DJ, like a main radio DJ, but then I didn't hear from them for weeks and I thought that they just ghosted me, but I didn't check my mail,
spam?
Like my spam inbox or whatever. Hidden inbox sa Facebook pa yun eh. So that's when I saw the message that we actually want to train you as a student jock. So I took that opportunity. But initially, I thought that I got rejected. And honestly, I don't really have any advice because I've been getting rejection letters left and right lately. All I've been doing is just like wallowing in my sadness. But I feel like it was really helpful when I reached out to a fellow, to a friend of mine who was also in the same boat, and kind of just like feeling that you're not alone in this job search. It makes you feel good. Although I don't really have like direct advice on how to handle rejection. It was just really helpful that I knew somebody who was also going through the same thing, aka rejection.
right.
So yun.
My mom's advice to me always, she uses the same phrase, hindi lang talaga para sa'yo. She always says that. Like, if it's not meant for you, then that usually means that you'll find something else that's a better fit. And I feel like that's good advice. Because at the end of the day, right, if they don't want you, well, it's not necessarily a reflection on who you are as a person, right? Doesn't mean that you suck at life because you got rejected. Maybe they found someone more qualified. Maybe you're overqualified. Maybe blah blah blah. There's so many reasons. But at the end of the day, remember that's not your job is not your worth as a person. I would say that's the advice. And eventually, you know, if you keep pursuing your, you know, with all your heart and whatever, what you really want, you'll get something that you love and then you're never gonna think about like, or you're gonna forget about all those rejections and you're gonna think, oh, thank goodness that this came to me. That's how I see
for
it.
For sure.
Right? I mean, that's very wishful thinking, but I like to think positive most of the time.
Yeah. And if you think about it, who you are is actually this person who's very determined to have career growth, diba? And that's much more, I feel like that's much more important to think about. Na ikaw yung type ng tao who actually thinks about career growth, who actually thinks about stepping out of the box and making themselves uncomfortable just because they want to get somewhere in life, to get a better, you know, better paying job or, you know, a challenge in life. So, yun ka. You are not the rejection. You are the person who's determined to actually become uncomfortable, to look for a job. Yun. So,
welcome to our TED Talk. Can I just share one rant about job hunting? It's never happened to me personally, but I've heard so many stories from friends. There should be no reason for you to have to do more than 2 interviews.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like that's there are that's... some fourth interview. Yeah. You can't tell me after the second that I'm good enough. And I get it. Maybe they have to go through different departments or whatever. But if you're hiring someone and then you take them to 4 interviews, at what point are you like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're there for the 4th interview, you better fucking hire me, dog.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
This better be like an onboarding type of thing that I'm like, I already have a desk space.
I've given you 3 hours of my time. Usually, if let's say it's a 30-minute or an hour interview. I don't know how long those last. It's been a while. But
also, it's...
How can you not determine by interview 2 that I am a fit with your company? I don't care if you have HR in the room in one day and whatever. You have to know already, man. What a
at that point, scam. You gotta pay people to like for go real? To the office 4 times. That's like my almost God. A week.
My goodness. That's a shift. Yeah. That's like a weekly shift already.
Yeah.
It's such bullshit. Sure. I mean, I feel bad because I just talked to one of my friends. Dude, 4th interview and then like they didn't get it. Wow. I was like, are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
So if, my gosh. I don't think any of our listeners are like, have that, I guess. But if you do, maybe 2 interviews if you own your business. I think 2 is the max. I think 1 should be fine. TBH. I don't know. I feel like, right? I feel like I could determine, right?
I know. Like, pag-usapan natin yung childhood ko. Tapos, ilang beses ako nasugatan or something.
Come on.
What are we gonna talk about for 4? It's just insane. I feel like that's also one of the, like me. It might also be a red flag, maybe
for the company. I'm sure there are. Unless you're interviewing for like maybe like a CEO of a global company, but even at that point, you're only taking candidates that I'm sure have a track record. Like, you're not going to hire a fresh grad to run a Fortune 500 company. So if you're interviewing for CEO, you have the body of work because you already qualified to be interviewed.
Yeah.
Right? So I can't even imagine. If, like, for example, I owned a company and I was going to get you to interview, I couldn't even fill up 4 days worth of questions and tasks or whatever for you to do. I could do it all in a day, max 2. It doesn't make sense to me.
Look, watch me rant about this and then go through 4 interviews because I really need a job.
But that's the point. That's the point, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, why most people go to these 3rd and 4th because they really want the job or they really need the job. But don't put people
maybe that's
through
the
that
point.
Shit.
Or maybe what, that's to the see? Point.
I don't think so. Like that's a Hunger fucking Games type bullshit. Hunger Games. You know, War of Attrition. See who lasts the longest.
Oh, yeah, get out of there. But
anyway,
I feel
that's
you.
The podcast. Happy. The podcast. So shout
that's
out to
it,
Alan. Shout out to Kit and your wife Christine, and to your newborn baby. We love babies on this
podcast.
We love
babies. Yeah, we're like
and,
big fans,
right? And follow us on social media. You can send us a message just like these two did at Halala Show on Instagram. You can email us at halalashow@gmail.com. And anything you want to plug, Rika G? Anything going on?
I think that's it, really.
If you're in the UK and you need a hard worker, Rika G is your
it's
girl.
It's me. I am a self-starter.
Oh, yun.
Okay? I'm not afraid to pitch to anybody. So sales, marketing, I can do that shit.
Easy.
Dude.
Easy.
Okay? I am determined. I'm a problem solver. And I'm a leader. Okay?
There you go. Dude, that's one of the things that I feel like sobrang daming plastic in the interviews in general. Right? And I mean, I'm not saying that you're plastic, but I'm just saying like, I never talk about myself in this way at all. But when you go to a job, there's certain things that you have to say to sound good, right? You know, I just...
I never say I build relationships on a normal conversation.
And my least favorite question, what's your biggest weakness? Fuck that question. And then there's ways to answer it that can turn your negative into... dude... My biggest weakness, I'm afraid of frogs. I don't like running. Like, that's the shit that I want to say. But I have to say, like, I sometimes I get so wrapped up in work that I do too much.
Oh my gosh.
Fuck out of here. My biggest weakness is my knee is fucked up and it hurts in the morning. Like, that's my biggest weakness, TBH. Right?
TBH. That's just what you want to say, but you cannot. Okay.
There we go. Anyway, that's it. And we'll see you next week. Thank you for listening. And extra song. Halala show.
Bye.
Later.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.